Today's scripture is from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 14 through 19. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After he said this to him, he said, "Follow me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So whether it is something big or something relatively small in the grand scheme of things, we have all been there. We have all had that feeling when we are just down and out, when we feel like things just can't go our way. Like maybe they will never go our way. We lose hope. We lose faith. We lose joy. We lose any sense of purpose. We do not know how to get things moving in a positive direction again. We don't know how to bounce back. With that in mind, over the last few weeks, Pastor Arthur has been exploring this very rich story from the last part of the Gospel of John with you, and he has been looking at how this story can be instructive for us when we find ourselves kind of knocked off our feet by life. So 2 weeks ago, he started at the top of chapter 21, and what we found there was the disciples, and they didn't know where to go, and they didn't know what to do, because Jesus was not there telling them exactly where to go and what to do. And so when Peter said, "Hey, I'm going to go fishing. Hey, I'm going to go fishing," the rest of them decide to join them. Well, not all of them, but six of them in one little fishing boat. They go out fishing because it was something familiar. It was something comfortable. It was something safe in a world that seemed very unsafe. And sometimes that is the very best first step we can take when we are trying to recover from life's setbacks, especially if we can do it like Peter did, with a group of people that have been through it with you. And then last week, Arthur moved forward with the next few verses from this chapter, verses that found Jesus standing on the shore while the men are out fishing. They don't know who he is. And he tells them, "You might want to try fishing on the other side of the boat." I mean, they had been at it all night, had had no luck. And they did. And all of a sudden, there is this tremendous load of fish in their nets. And that is when all of a sudden they recognize who it is standing on the shore. And Peter throws on his clothes and he jumps into the water and he swims to reach Jesus. He cannot even wait for them to get the boat to shore. I absolutely love that image of Peter in his waterlogged clothing trying to get to shore, struggling against the weight of what he is wearing. He just wants so badly to get to Jesus and to talk to him. But Jesus, we saw, tells Peter to go back and help his friends bring in the fish. And so Arthur shared that that simple thing, that simple working with others for a common goal, that is a very simple thing that can be a good next step for anyone who is trying to bounce back from setbacks. Working with others, especially if you work in ways that will bring hope or promise or help to someone else, it can do wonders. It can do wonders to give yourself hope and promise and help. So that brings us up to today's scripture. And I'll be honest, I think this is the best part of the story. I really do. It is just a beautiful part of the gospel. Now, why is it that I would say that this conversation, which on its face seems incredibly redundant, and which also contains foreshadowing of Peter's death, why would I say that this is a beautiful scripture? Well, let's talk for a minute about who Peter was and what we know about Peter, not just from the Gospel of John, but from the other Gospels. John tells us that Peter came to become a follower of Jesus when his brother brought him with him. And Jesus lays eyes on Peter, whose name was Simon, and he renames him then and there on the spot. He says, "Your name is Peter. You are the rock on which my church will be built." But this story of Peter and his life with Jesus, it's kind of all over the place after that. Peter is someone that Jesus sees something in, but he really is all over the place. So what are some of the stories that we know from his walk with Christ? Well, the Gospel of Matthew tells us that one night, Jesus is walking on the water to meet his disciples who were crossing, and Peter sees Jesus walking on water, and Peter says, "Hey, let me do that. Just call me to you, Jesus, and I will walk on water." And he does for a moment until he starts to pay more attention to the storm and the seas than he does to Jesus, and he starts to sink. Now, according to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Peter was one who was with Jesus when he went to the top of a mountain, and all of a sudden he is just transfigured. He is glowing and white. He has changed. His whole appearance has changed. And he's suddenly talking with Moses and Elijah. And Peter is never without a great idea. And he always says it. And he says, "This is awesome. This is awesome. Let's build some tents. Let's build some booths. And we're just going to stay here." And then Moses and Elijah are gone. And you know, you have to go back down the mountain. In Matthew, Jesus had tried to tell his followers that he was going to suffer and die. And Peter pulls him aside. And he says, "Shh, shh, stop talking like that. Don't say things like that." And Jesus jumps all over him. He says, "Satan, get behind me. You have your mind on human things, not divine." And Peter, he was at that Passover meal with Jesus right before Jesus was betrayed by one of his own. And Jesus knelt to wash their feet. He humbled himself before his followers to wash their feet. And Peter protested. He said, "No way. No way are you going to wash my feet." And Jesus said, "You cannot have any part with me until I cleanse you." And Peter says, "Well, that sounds pretty good. So clean my hands and my head too." Peter was bold and he was brash, and he said that he could and he would follow Jesus wherever he went. He would say that night during that Passover meal that he would die for Jesus. He said that shortly before Jesus was arrested, and Jesus said, no, in fact, let's just wait and see what happens in the next few hours, because you are going to deny me 3 times. You will deny that you even know me. And that's exactly what he did. That is exactly what he did. Jesus was risen from the grave, and Peter was one of the first witnesses to that empty tomb. He had been present with the other disciples when Jesus had appeared to them 2 other times. The top of our scripture today said that this was the 3rd time Jesus appeared to his disciples. And Peter had been there. Peter was one who made promises that he had not been ready to keep. He spoke out of turn. He sometimes got out of the boat and found himself caught up in a storm. And he had denied Jesus on that terrible night while Jesus was being tried, when he was being railroaded, when he was being condemned. He denied him. And just imagine how terrible he must have felt about that when he realized what he had just done. You know he felt terrible. Now Jesus was alive, and he was sitting with him there on the beach. He had just eaten breakfast with him. And this is why this story is so beautiful. Because we see Jesus graciously give Peter 3 more chances. 3 more chances that sound so redundant to us, but Peter knew what he had done. He gives him 3 chances to walk back each and every one of those denials. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Simon, son of John, do you love me? Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And after each one of these replies from Peter, Jesus instructs him to feed his sheep before he asks that question again. And after that final reply from Peter, Jesus tells him again to feed his sheep. And then in a cryptic sounding passage, he says, "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your own hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." See, tradition tells us that Peter was martyred on a cross. Peter died on a cross, hung upside down, because he felt that he was simply not worthy to die the same death that Jesus died. Peter died on his cross, laying down his life for Jesus and for the gospel, just like he had promised Christ that night at that Passover meal. Peter died on a cross, following his Lord, who sat on the beach with him, who allowed him to undo his denials, and who had given him a purpose and a mission, which he proceeded to pursue with a tenacity and a boldness that only the love of Christ in his very heart, soul, and bones could allow him to have. Thomas Traeger, a professor at Yale Divinity School, says that this story here at the end of John awakens memories of darkness, the darkness of our hunger, the darkness of our failure to recognize Christ, the darkness of our denials. But at the same time, it reminds us that this darkness has been overcome by the light. And it is also to be a reminder to us today that the risen Christ still calls, he still feeds, and he still empowers. He calls and he feeds and he empowers even doubters and deniers. He calls and feeds and empowers those who have gone through setbacks in life. He calls us, he feeds us, he empowers us, not just to go on with life, but to go on with ministry. See, Pastor Arthur touched on it a little bit last week when he pointed out that working together in life, in ministry, even when you are pretty sure that you're the one who needs the ministry, well, that can be healing. Whatever it is that you need, when you give it in ministry, you get a portion of it back. If you need hope, we'll give some hope. If you need love, give some love. If you need forgiveness, give forgiveness. It's really just more of the wackadoodle, goofy economy of the kingdom of God, the way this works like that. Peter, you see, is seeking a reconciliation with his teacher, his friend, his Lord, his Savior, there that day on the beach, and he receives it. But he also receives a calling. And it is a calling to reconcile others to his teacher, his friend, his Lord, and his Savior. It is a calling to tell the world who his teacher, his friend, his Lord, his Savior is exactly. It is a calling not just to bounce back personally by reaching down deep inside of himself, by reconnecting to Christ. It is a calling to connect with that never-ending fuel supply that is loving Christ above absolutely everything else. And to then, with your tank full of that love, to follow him wherever he may lead you. The Bible, beyond the Gospels, they tell us a few stories about Peter and what he did after that day on the beach. Peter becomes a bold preacher. And Peter doesn't preach what he's not willing to do anymore either. Peter is brave and bold. He is not worried about storms or people anymore. He led that early church. And he was thrown in jail and rescued by angels. And he kept his eye on Jesus the entire time. Even that last time when he ended up in jail and he would not be saved by angels but would instead end up laying down his life for Christ. Love has got to be the motivator for our lives. Just like it was for Peter. This love of God and through that love, love of others, has to be what motivates our life. Because see, when we step out on those stormy waters, when we say that we're going to do this thing or the other thing for Jesus, if it is not because of a true love of God, in all of those storms, and in the face of all those humans around us, all of those motivations, no matter how good they are, they're just not going to hold us up. They are not going to carry us through. We have got to look at our Savior and say that we love him. And we have got to mean it. And then we have to act on it. No matter what it is that our day looks like today, no matter what it is that happened to us yesterday, and yes, no matter what it is that may be facing us before our lives are over. Because our love of Christ promises us that no matter what happens, it's not the end. It's just the beginning. May the grace of our Creator God, through the working of the Spirit within each of us, may it convict us and move us to do more than just bounce back from life's setbacks, but to thrive. But to thrive in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, our Savior and Redeemer. And may this be so, so that our lives can honestly say, yes, you know that I love you. Yes, you know that I love you. Yes, you know that I love you. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you for chances. First, second, third, fourth, on and on, Lord. We thank you that you are constantly gracious to us in giving us a chance to look you in the eye, to reconnect to how much we love you, to be reminded of how much you love us, and to let that be the fuel that keeps us going. Lord, you give us life and hope and love, and we want to live a life of meaning and purpose. We want to bounce back from every setback that comes into our lives and to thrive. Oh, Lord, fill us up that our lives may show your love everywhere we go, in every circumstance. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.